shackles of worry and defeat. I find in you all I need, all I need. Speak peace to my heart, Lord Jesus. In a world where no peace is found, in a still, quiet voice, remind me to trust thee. Speak peace to my heart.
True peace to my heart.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and lift me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be Thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful song. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. This morning I talked about, are you a soldier in the Lord's army? And tonight I would like to continue this theme and talk this evening about strong and standing. Strong and standing. Now God has called us to be soldiers. And tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have enlisted in the Lord's army, whether you knew it or not. But you're a part of the army of the Lord. And as Paul gave us, as I talked this morning about, we are in the service of the Lord. We are in active duty. Therefore, we must be strong and standing. Strong and standing. I have great respect for our military. And I'm very thankful that a church like our church honors the veterans. And I think it's very important. And you know something? Whenever I see a military soldier, I have great respect for them. And you know what I expect of them? I expect of them to to be strong and to be standing firm. You know, but God expects us as soldiers in His armies to be strong and standing. Let's look at it tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin in verse number 10, if you would please. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I love this passage because we find, if you'll notice in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." We are to be strong in the Lord. And then God goes on to tell us in verse number 13 at the very end, "And having done all to stand," and verse 14, "stand therefore." So tonight, God wants us to be strong in the Lord and to be standing. Let's pray together and let's ask the Lord for His help. Father, as we come before You this evening, I ask You to work in our hearts and, Lord, to enable me to preach. Father, we look to You by faith tonight and we are trusting You to do a work. And Father, we know that we have an enemy and we know the devil works. But we know that, Lord, Your work is greater. And Father, I pray tonight that we would look to You. Lord, please enable me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We understand tonight that the Christian life is a battleground. We are in a warfare. In fact, I think sometimes we forget that we are in a warfare. We forget that we are in a battle and that the battle has come to us. We are in this warfare because we are children of God and there is a battle to be fought. Parents, never forget that there is a battle for your children and you must be strong and standing for your children. Couples here tonight need to know that in your marriage, you have an enemy in your marriage. You know, the devil wants marriages to fall apart. The devil is attacking the home today because the husband and wife is to be a great testimony of the bride and of Christ. We understand all of that. So we have an enemy this evening. He attacks our families. He attacks our marriages, but he attacks us personally. I mean, we have an adversary tonight, but folks, he is attacking the church of God today. The devil would love nothing more than to cause division and strife and discontent in a church, because what is the church? The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is so important because without the church, there is no lighthouse in the cities and the counties around our area. We need to know tonight that we have an enemy. So we are strong and we are to be standing. Let's look at a couple of things tonight. Number one, we notice our daily command. Now, notice what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 10, "Finally." Now, the word there means let's sum it all together. Let's bring it all together. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now, we understand that the New Testament was given to us in Greek, all right? Now, I'm not going to give you the Greek words tonight, but when the Bible uses the Greek word to be strong, it is a word that means it is a continual action. It is not that we are to be strong just for one day or for one year. We are to be daily strong in the Lord. Now, I think I remember as a young man wanting to be strong. You know, I remember arm wrestling with my dad, and my dad could always beat me until I began to beat him, and then my dad didn't want to arm wrestle me anymore, you know? Kind of the same thing with wrestling and all of that. You know, boys want to be strong. There's something about they want to be have that physical strength. But the Bible here is not talking, obviously, about physical strength. It is talking about our spiritual strength. I think we understand tonight what it means to be strong in the Lord. There is a strength of being right with Christ. There is a strength of having a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. There is a strength that we find in communion with the Lord Jesus. I mean, there is something special and something wonderful about spending time in the Word of God and being in prayer. God strengthens us. And He gives us that strength. What for? Well, to withstand temptation. To take a stand for Christ. We need the strength of the Lord so we find our daily command. We are to be daily strong in the Lord. One of the prayers that I pray for my children is that they would be strong in the Lord. Not strong in their own wisdom. Not strong in the world's counsel. Not strong in their ability, but strong in the Lord. Their dependence is on Christ. That's so important for us to understand. In fact, basically what Paul was saying here to the church at Ephesus, he was saying, brethren, be daily strengthened. Be daily receiving strength from the Lord and to go forth in the power of His might. Now, I think all of us would understand tonight that if you go days without food, now I think fasting and praying is something good. But if you go days without food, it makes you weak physically. Food is energy to our bodies. You have to have food, and food produces the energy to work, to labor, to think, or whatever it may be. We have to have food to function physically, but you need the food of God's Word and the food of His presence to function spiritually. How many knows what it is that maybe at a time in your life or times in your life when you have really gotten away from the Lord and you became weak in the Lord? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Every one of us know what that is. I know what that is. To be weak, we're not daily drawing our strength from the Lord. And the command here that Paul gives us, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Folks, that's something supernatural. Now, I'm not talking about it's something mystical, but it's something that God gives you. It is the strength from the Lord. I think all of us would understand, maybe we have a revival in our church. And, you know, I love the revival services. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. You know what? We might be weak physically because of the going to work during the day and coming to the revival services at night. But I'm going to tell you what it does. It makes you strong in the Lord. You know why? You hear the preaching of God's Word and you respond to the preaching and God's Word strengthens us. And folks, without the Word of God and without your communion with Christ, you will not be strong to withstand the temptations and the discouragements that are on the journey of the Christian life. We are to be strong in the Lord. And by the way, let's think about being strong in the Lord. Do you know what a part of being strong in the Lord is? To practice the presence of God in our life. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means to live in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. It means that wherever we go and whatever we do, even when we think we are alone, we know the presence of the Lord is there. You know what that does? That gives victory. In fact, dwelling in the conscious presence of Christ gives victory in our Christian life. By the way, that has so much to do with our public world and our private world. Do you know there's a danger when we give little attention to our private life and all we're concerned about is our public life? What people see about us, what people think about us. Listen, the most important thing about your life tonight is not what you are in public, it's what you are in private. When nobody else can see you, that is the real person tonight. And folks, that's the real me tonight. I'll tell you, I want to be right with God in the private place of my heart. Because if I'm right with the Lord in the private place of my heart, then the public life will take care of everything. You see, when we are right with God privately, then that takes care of every other area of our life. We have a daily command. Brethren, be strong in the Lord. Let's go. You're there in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1. I want you to see another part of this. Now, by the way, why are we to be strong in the Lord? Because we have an enemy. And Paul is here stressing that our enemy is there. And if we are not strong in the Lord, then we will give way to the devil. In fact, the Bible says that we can actually give place to the devil, giving the devil an advantage in our life. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's come to verse number 19. The Bible says this: "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Now notice what the Bible says in verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power?" Now folks, we believe tonight in the all-powerful God, that He is able to do all things. But that power, not that we can do all things, whatever we think we want to do, but Paul said it best when he said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do," what did he say? "All things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We cannot do anything that we desire to do, but we can do everything that God has given us to do. You know what that means? Every command that God has given to you, you can obey that command because of Christ in you, who enables you, who gives you the power to do what God has given you to do. You see, in Him, we can do all things. In Christ, as we depend upon Him. I think last Sunday I talked about that we are to abide in Christ. We are to have that communion in Christ, that fellowship with Christ. You know what I believe? I believe that many Christians miss this. I believe for many Christians, it is not true in their life that they are abiding in Christ. They are communing with the Lord. That is the key to the spiritual life. It is the open secret to the Christian life, is that we must have a daily dependence on the Lord. Now, let's talk about this just for a moment. We might say, "Well, I know, Pastor, I'm supposed to have my devotions." But it's more than just having your devotions. You know what I believe? I believe that we're not to just have our devotions. We are to have a devotional life. And there's a big difference there. We might think, "Well, okay, I read my Bible this morning. I spent time in prayer. Now I'm going to just live life my way." No. God wants us to live every moment of the day in dependence upon the Lord, dwelling in His presence. We're conscious of His presence, and we are drawing from the Lord throughout the day. Yes, we're meditating on Scripture. I don't know about you, but this morning I read a verse that I said to our Sunday school in the book of Jeremiah, where the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Well, throughout the day, I've been thinking about that. God knows what He's thinking about me. And can I tell you what God's thinking about me? He's thinking good thoughts about me. I can remember when I was in school and my teachers, I would think, you know, I wonder what my teacher's thinking of me. And I don't think it's good thoughts, you know. I think it's like bad thoughts, you know, like, all right, I'm going to get Aaron. I'm going to find, you know. No, and that was not real. That was not true. But the truth of the matter is tonight, God thinks about you and me. And folks, as we dwell in His presence, as we rely upon Christ day by day, He gives us the strength. So we find our daily command, and that is to be strong in the Lord. Men tonight, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Obey His word. Live a clean life and you'll be strong in the Lord. Ladies tonight, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Young people tonight, you can be strong in the Lord. You can live a life of victory, not a life of sinlessness, but a life of victory that we are living in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. But number two, not only do we see our daily command, we see our dangerous conflict. Now, what is the conflict? The conflict and what is a danger is that we forget that we are in a war and that we have an enemy. Now, I believe that one of the devil's greatest tactics that he has used today is to convince us that he doesn't exist and that he's not really our enemy. You're in a warfare tonight. Day by day, moment by moment, the devil is at war with you and me. Now, by the way, we think about the devil. His name means accuser. In fact, do you know that he accuses us before God day and night before the throne of God? That's what the Bible tells us. So he is the accuser of the brethren. But let me tell you this, he will accuse you to yourself. How many knows that clearly in your life, all right? Absolutely. He accuses us to ourselves, but he accuses us to other people. And folks, he is the accuser of the brethren. He works to bring division by his accusations. But the name Satan means adversary. In fact, do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, the devil is our adversary tonight. He is also called the tempter. He is called the murderer. He is called the father of lies. And by the way, his greatest work today that I believe he is doing is a work of deception. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and you're there in Ephesians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to see something, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice what the Bible tells us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look in verse number 4. Notice what the Word of God tells us. So important for us to understand about our enemy. The Bible says, well, let's look in verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, notice, it's the God of this world. What does he do? He blinds the lost. He doesn't want them to know the truth. That's why we must share the gospel, because the God of this world is blinding their minds. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look what it says in verse number 13. Now, we're speaking tonight of our enemy. We have a dangerous enemy, the dangerous conflict. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The Bible tells us that before the devil was ever cast out of heaven, he was the angel of light. Now, I believe this. I believe that the devil has not lost his angelic beauty, and I believe that he has never lost his deception. He is deceitful. I mean, he knows how to deceive. And brethren, his greatest work today is that he is deceiving the minds of people. And guess what he does? He mixes truth with error. That's why it's so deceptive. You know, sometimes the world thinks of the devil in a red suit, and he's an ugly person, and he's got a pitchfork and long tail and horns. And folks, that's not what the devil looks like. You know, the devil is deceptive. The devil knows how to do his work, and he blinds our minds. Folks, tonight, we are not to fear the enemy, and I don't want us to be devil conscious tonight. We ought to be God conscious. Because the truth is, the sheep, folks, can I tell you something? The sheep do not have to fear the wolf as long as they are in the presence of the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who protects us. The shepherd is the one who guides and leads us. In fact, the Bible tells us that surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Folks, we can trust our shepherd tonight, but we must turn to him and draw near to him, because our enemy is powerful. Our enemy, he does not have all power. But folks, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If he can deceive and trick some of the greatest Christians in the Bible, he can deceive you and me. You know, when I was a youth pastor, sometimes the young people, when I came to be the youth pastor, they loved to sing a song about the devil, and how that the song basically went, "We can beat the devil any old time." Well, I stopped singing that song because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The words of that song is not true. We can't just kick the devil and make him sit on a tack, you know. Folks, he is deceptive. He is our enemy tonight. He is our adversary tonight. But that is why we are to daily be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Folks, the devil is not afraid of us, but he is afraid of our Savior. And you know something tonight? We can trust and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Number three, the last thing that we notice tonight, and this is where I want to come to. Go back to Ephesians, if you would, please, chapter 6. We see our daily command. We see our dangerous conflict. But number three, we see our deliverance in Christ. Now, as we think about the soldier that goes into battle, do you know that it is the responsibility of the government or of the military to provide the clothing and the weapons for the soldier? I think that's very understandable. Those men and women that were here today, many of them had their uniforms on. Guess what? They were provided those uniforms by the military. They were provided for them. And when they went into combat, they didn't have to purchase their own plane or purchase their own weapons or purchase their own defense mechanisms. No, it's all provided for them. And I want you to remember this tonight. Everything that you and I need to live victorious in the Christian life is provided to us by our heavenly shepherd. He gives us what we need. I think sometimes we have the ideal that, well, we got to strive and we got to work and we got to labor and we got to get everything we can get so we can be victorious. No, folks, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And He gives us everything that we need to live victorious in Jesus Christ. So we go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and notice what the Bible says. Finally, my brethren, verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And look what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, God tells us that in order for us to stand against the wiles, he's wily, he's trickery, he has deceit. You can't see what the devil is trying to do. He's very deceptive. He's good at what he does. So what must we do? God says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, I remember when I was a kid And it did get cold in Tennessee at times, all right? Just want you to know that in the wintertime. And my mom always bought me a coat. You know what? When I got a little older, you know what? It wasn't cool to wear a coat. How many remembers those days? Would you raise your hand? All right. Some of you remember that, all right? And you know what? It just wasn't cool. I don't know what it was about a young person. It's cool to freeze to death or something, you know? I think that's what it is. We have the same thing in our school. Guys come in, short sleeves. It's 10 degrees outside. I'm like, are you cold? No, man, I'm fine. You know, they're blue, but they're doing okay, you know? And I think deep down inside, they're like, man, I'm freezing to death, but I got to maintain coolness, all right? You know? And, but you know what? I can remember, I remember one time in our youth group, we had a young person that went to a winter retreat that we had. We went to Whitewater, Wisconsin, and they froze the whole time they were there. But you know what I found out later? They had a coat that was provided for them, but they didn't want to wear it. And you know what I said to myself? I thought, that kid's crazy, you know? You have what's provided for you, so utilize it. And here's the emphasis of Ephesians chapter 6. God is not saying, go get your weapons. Go get your armor. No, no, no. God is not saying, you've got to go find it somewhere. God is saying, I have provided for you the whole armor of God. It's yours. But what must we do? Put it on. The emphasis here in Ephesians chapter 6 is to access the armor. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel and peace. Pick up the shield of faith. You have what you need, but you have to access it. So often in my Christian life, I live defeated sometimes when I have everything I need to live victorious. For instance, let's take the matter. Notice what the Bible goes on to say. Look what it says in verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God wants us to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, we understand that we are to gird our loins with truth. Now, the Apostle Paul is referencing the Roman soldier. And I have preached on this. I've talked about every part of our warfare and how that we are girded about with truth and how that this gird that about with truth held up everything else. And the Roman soldier had his loins girded about, and it held up the breastplate. It held up the sword, all of that. And truth. Folks, we've got to live our lives based on the truth of God's Word. So we understand all that. But folks, take the truth. Hide the truth in your heart. Live by truth. Speak truth to your mind. Speak truth to yourself about the truths of God's Word. You see, the Apostle Paul is, take truth. Access that truth. We read on here, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. By the way, folks, do you know that we have the very righteousness of Christ applied to our lives? But this is speaking of living righteously day by day. Live righteously. You can, because you're in Jesus Christ. It goes on, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You have the shield of faith. How much deceit is done in your life, and how much damage is done in your life when we do not operate by faith. In fact, the Bible tells us, for whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Do you know that the opposite of faith is not really unbelief, it is sin. Look, I'll tell you this. When we think of Numbers chapter 14, when the children of Israel would not live by faith, the Bible says that they wept that night because their dreams had died. I mean, folks, when we do not live by faith, we are discouraged, we are defeated, and God's purposes are not fulfilled in our life. So we see tonight that our deliverance is that God has provided all of the armor. But how do we access the armor? Now, this is very important. You see, we shall never put on the armor of God Unless in silence we draw near to Him, unless in communion we are resting upon the Lord. You see, communion with Christ equips us for the battle. Drawing near to the Lord enables us to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Folks, Christians are not to be victims and live a victim mentality life. We are victors in Jesus Christ. And in fact, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are to live a daily life of victorious living in Jesus Christ. And by the way, this victory that we have, access the victory in Christ. I remember the story that was told back in during World War II. There was a lieutenant general by the name of Jonathan Mayhew Wainwright. He was the commander of the Allied forces in the Philippines. Now, following this heroic resistance of enemy forces, he was forced to surrender, and the survivors of the Philippine campaign on May the 6th, 1942. And for 3 years, he suffered as a POW, and he suffered as a prisoner of war in this camp. And boy, he dealt with cruelty and physical and verbal abuse and psychological mind games. He went through it for so many years, 3 years long. But through it all, he maintained his dignity as a soldier. But after the Japanese surrendered the war, his captors kept Wainwright and the other prisoners incarcerated. Even though the war was over, the bondage still continued. But one day, an Allied plane landed in a field near the prisoner of war camp. And through the fence that surrounded the compound, an airman informed the general of the Japanese, informed the general that the Japanese had already surrendered. So Mr. Wainwright, knowing that now the Japanese had already surrendered, he was still there in bondage. He walked up to the general that day and he said, "My commander-in-chief has beat your commander-in-chief and we're no longer staying in captivity." Folks, can I tell you something tonight? Our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, has beat the God of this world. We do not have to live in defeat. Folks, we have read the end of the story. We are already on the winning side. And we can live daily in victory in Christ. So folks, be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in Him. And God wants us to stand. Be strong and be standing in Christ. Let's pray together tonight. Father, I thank You this evening for Your Word. And Lord, how I need Your Word, and our people need Your Word. We need it day by day. Lord, strengthen us for Thy work. Lord, may we not live in defeat, but may we live victoriously in Christ. Lord, may we draw from You daily in Your Word and in prayer. And I pray that we would be strong in Thee. Father, bless tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this evening, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I've not been strong in the Lord. God has dealt with me tonight that I am to draw my strength from Christ daily. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high?" That's me, preacher. Amen. Well, there is strength in Christ. You have everything you need to live a victorious life. Let's stand together, would you please? I want to finish this prayer, and then tonight we're going to sing, and I want to invite you to come to this altar. Father, thank You for Your love to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be strong in the Lord. Lord, You've given us everything we need to live a victorious life. And Father, I pray that You will guide and strengthen us. Help us, Father, to daily draw from Thee and find our strength in Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and let's go to hymn number 546, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." If the Lord has spoken to you tonight, would you find a place to pray and seek Him? You can have victory in Christ. Hymn number 546.
Oh, so are You in
you may be seated.